Well, hi everyone, and welcome back to Crosswires. It's James here, coming to you from an undisclosed location in a hotel in London. This week's episode is a little bit shorter because we were able to get some time with a wonderful guest. One of the things we really value on Crosswires is sustainability and technology that looks at the ethics and looks at why things should be done and how things should be done differently. You may have heard of a framework laptop, probably from, you know, a Canadian YouTuber. I don't know his name. But we talked to Nirav Patel, the CEO of Framework. And honestly, it's a great chat. I really, really enjoyed our time with Nirav. Please do listen, and I hope you pick something up from this. Without much further ado.
Nirav, thank you so much for joining me today. It is an absolute pleasure to have you. Welcome to Crosswires.
Thanks, James. Great to be here.
So before we start talking about basically the framework laptops, do you want to tell people a little bit about yourself, maybe a little bit about your journey and your sort of journey to framework? What got you to this point?
Yeah, definitely. So I've been now in consumer electronics for almost 15 years, starting at Apple, actually, and then as part of the founding team at Oculus and built up the hardware organization there. You know, took us through the hardware end of becoming part of a giant organization at Facebook, and obviously shipped a bunch of really interesting VR headsets. And then really took a look around the consumer electronics industry and saw a pretty urgent and apparent need to actually try to fix the industry broadly. And that led me to jump out and start to pull together a team and build Framework.
I think it's fair to say that certainly looking at Framework laptops, I can see some of that sort of Apple-inspired design. And I'll be really honest, I just got a new MacBook Air M3, but I'm not going to lie, there was a part of me for like, just purely because I use so much Apple software, but there was that moment where, do I get a Framework laptop? And you were so, so close.
Ah, we'll get you next time.
Get me next time, absolutely. Well, if Jay needs a new laptop, we'll get her a Framework.
Good.
There we go. So you mentioned fixing the industry, and I assume by that we're talking about this really important topic, sort of an almost dual-edged sword of right to repair and sustainability of our consumer tech. So why is that so important? Why does it matter that we've got the right to repair our laptops? Why does it matter that they should last longer than maybe a week?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, there's really two viewpoints into it. One is just the actual aspect of ownership. You know, if you've bought something, especially something expensive like a laptop, you know, $1,000+ purchase or a phone, these very expensive, important objects in your lives, you should own that product. You should be able to do what you'd like with it. You should be able to use it for as long as you want to. And you shouldn't be blocked from basically being able to continue to use it by very simple things like a battery wearing out or, you know, a port getting flaky or something else like that. And so a big aspect of what we're doing, and really the entire philosophy around this, is that when you buy a product, that should be your product, not the company's product that sold it to you. And of course, there's the other viewpoint, which is equally important, which is the environmental impact aspect of this, that electronic waste is one of the fastest growing waste streams on the planet. And it's also one of the most damaging waste streams on the planet, just given the materials that go into these products. And we see globally just the continued impact of e-waste and the extreme difficulty of actually being able to reuse or properly recycle that material. And so the best thing that we can do as an industry, of course, and as a consumer base, is to create less new electronics material that can enter the waste stream in the first place by being able to use our products for longer.
Absolutely. And that kind of leads me, and you know, we have talked about this concept before in terms of sustainability. And it is true, you know, I think we do as consumers get very much trapped into new, shiny, I want. Whereas maybe we should, well, actually, how can I make the things that I have now work for me and last longer? And we're going to very much come to why the framework laptops are such a dream for upgraders. But from your point of view, if I were to buy a new laptop today from right. any manufacturer, really, I mean, how long should that last? How long should I be able to use that laptop, do you think?
Yeah, there's the should, and then the actual reality of how long is that laptop going to last. And you know, the should piece is interesting because the reality is that when you buy that product, you should be able to use it until it stops working well for you. And then the question becomes, okay, why is it not working well for you? And then that gets to really our approach and our philosophy around our products, which is making sure that the very basic reasons like running out of storage space or having a battery that's worn out or having, you know, a key on your keyboard be flaky, that those aren't things that require you to go out there and replace that entire object, because those are all things that are actually quite solvable. Even things like being able to get more performance out of a computer by being able to upgrade your processor, that's something that is technically quite feasible and something that we've been able to do, but that's not something that's the norm in the industry, unfortunately. And so as we think about, you know, the usable lifetime, for us, it's let's actually look at every possible roadblock and make sure we're designing our products in a way that we can remove that roadblock.
That's a really good point. And it leads me, because I do want to talk about where, again, is, you said, the path that frameworks follow, and it's a really interesting path and one I've been really closely following. But we talk about the ability to upgrade things like CPU and GPUs. Now, in a mobile environment, please do correct me if I'm wrong, typically, these aren't like your desktop components. These can't just be lifted off the logic board or motherboard, whatever. These are soldered on components. And I think in a lot of cases, that is the challenge, isn't it? Once you've got a, let's say, generic Corp laptop with an i7 and a NVIDIA 3070, say, as a laptop chip, that's what's on your board and that's what's in your machine. Very few companies are going to sell you, and I'll come to this, a new logic board just to upgrade your machine. They want you to buy the new model. Then we've got this trade-off between a beautiful, thin and light laptop and, you know, things like, again, not to call out competitors, but the MacBook Air and really thin, you know, the ultra portables. I remember bigger machines. I just remember, I think it was a really old Dell, which had a desktop Pentium 4 inside of it. Where is that trade-off? And how, I mean, before we go into the framework difference, how do you solve the challenge of a mobile CPU and a mobile GPU for upgradability?
Yeah, this is a really interesting one, and it's something that we addressed very early on when we were starting the design and architecture of the first framework laptop, which is really thinking very deliberately about modularity and where we slice up the parts of the system in a way that reflects the reality of the components and silicon, especially, that was available to us. And so one thing that we did is that, of course, for mobile CPUs and GPUs, they are not socketed, they're soldered. And so what we did is designed our main board so that the value in the main board primarily is actually that CPU, and the rest of that main board is mostly serving as interfaces and sockets and power to support that CPU. And then the other high value components, we've been deliberate to make sure are modular, so that if you want to upgrade that CPU, you can upgrade that main board, which is primarily a CPU from a value perspective, but be able to keep things like memory and storage and Wi-Fi as separate modules that you can reuse over again.
That's something that really struck me when looking at, particularly when building, you know, building the configuration for a framework laptop. Literally everything is optional apart from the logic board when you're buying a framework laptop from start. It's incredible. Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, I could actually go out today and buy a framework laptop and not select any RAM, not select any storage, because I've already got my own. I can just say, I've got my own. Thank you very much.
That's right. And that is, again, part of that reuse and waste reduction, that if you already have memory or storage that works for you, we don't want you to be forced to buy more memory and storage and have that maybe go sit in a drawer. Instead, we want to let you reuse that material, again, with this idea of reducing waste and reducing the outputs to that waste stream.
Absolutely. And so that leads us into what makes the framework laptop so different. What is it for you? Because you've got, correct me if I'm wrong, there's currently two sizes. There's the framework 13 and the framework 16. The 16 is relatively new in the product line. And do both lines currently feature AMD, or is it just the 13 at the moment?
Yeah, we do have AMD for both. And then for the 13, we also have Intel.
Oh, okay. So it's AMD only on the 16. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay, cool. And I'm a big Team Red supporter, if I'm absolutely honest with you here. But that's really cool. So let's talk a little bit then about what is the makeup, or maybe what's a better term, what is the framework of a framework? What makes it unique? Yeah.
Yeah, the core of our philosophy around the products is that modularity and repairability and upgradability shouldn't come at a trade-off. You shouldn't have to decide, I want a product that lasts longer, but I'm going to have to accept thicker, heavier, lower performance, or more expensive. So really, from the start, we designed the product to be competitive from a price standpoint, a weight standpoint, thickness, performance, features, and functionality. And then with those things set in stone, then design the product to be as modular and as upgradable and as repairable as it could be. Because that's the way that we get consumer adoption, that we get adoption from businesses, not by forcing people to make very difficult trade-offs. And we found that as we went through that initial design and architecture product, that it was actually quite achievable. You know, the things that enabled us to deliver this laptop that's actually lighter than a MacBook Pro, a 13-inch MacBook Pro, almost the same weight as a MacBook Air, actually, and
wow,
about the same size and thickness, that enabling that modularity didn't require us to make those dire trade-offs. And part of that is just very simple things, like instead of trying to make everything kind of Lego block attach for something like replacing a battery or replacing a main board, we create these very simple to follow guides and videos and then include the only tool that you need in the box. And by, you know, making these tooled instead of tool-less actions, it allows us to keep a very competitive form factor.
Excellent. And that goes as far down as, again, swapping out the, correct me if I'm wrong, swapping out the speaker modules. Everything is really clearly labeled. I've seen, you know, the insides. I mean, I think it goes without saying, of course, for me, Framework came to my attention through everyone's favorite Canadian tech guy. Now, I have to ask you a quick question, which isn't on the script, and we can cut it if you want.
Sure.
Have you forgiven him for nearly dropping it yet?
You know, it's hard to, going into the first Linus Tech Tips, you know, interactions and videos we did, I wasn't sure like how much was like a shtick and how much was like actually the reality of how he handles products. It became very clear that like, no, there's no like artifice here. Actually, that's just how Linus handles hardware. But still, you know, obviously he's you know, got kind of a dinged up Framework laptop. It actually kind of shows like, oh yeah, this is a durable product. It's repairable. Mm-hmm. When he does actually smash and break some aspect of it, he has the ability to swap that module and keep using it. So it's almost like a selling point that he's not super careful with his products.
Oh, that is absolutely a really good point. I hadn't quite thought about that as a selling point, because it means, yeah, I ding up the bezel or something like that. Everything can be repaired. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, you even did an upgrade on the, not the bezels, the mechanism,
the hinges. Yeah, we've actually built a few different variants of hinges, actually to reflect consumer preference as well. We have different force profiles, so if someone wants a substantially stiffer hinge, they can actually pick that up from a marketplace.
Oh, brilliant. And of course, because that's one thing I very much noticed with, so versus my work ThinkPad versus my personal MacBook, I can put that ThinkPad screen all the way flat if I want to. But my Apple laptops, no, it is the Apple maximum tilt. That's all I get. Yeah. So that's really cool. Now, the modules, because interfaces, you mentioned this earlier. When you buy an off-the-shelf laptop, again, from any company, you are pretty much forced to choose what ports. No, not even choose. You don't get a choice.
Right.
It's what ports are available on that model. And you almost have to choose a model based on the ports. But that's not the Framework way, is it? You've gone with completely, I mean, modular modules.
That's right, yeah. So our expansion card system actually enables selection of ports at the time of configuring and ordering that laptop. But it also means that at any point after that, if you get, you know, a new monitor or some other new peripheral, you just need to change up your preferences or locations of which ports on which side, you can actually continue to swap those modules around. And we've seen it that actually in the order profiles of people configuring their Framework laptops, there's a pretty extreme variety in the selections of ports that people are making.
I think if I'm right, you've got USB-C, USB-A, DisplayPort, HDMI, micro SD. I think is the SD card reader's coming, isn't it, at the moment?
That's right.
On the drawing board. I mean, even, and this is one that really surprised me, Ethernet.
That's right, yeah. 2.5 gig Ethernet.
I didn't know that last little bit. That is,
yeah.
So that, in a laptop, folks, that's really powerful. Now, why? I mean, because most thin and light laptops do not have Ethernet, or if they do, they're kind of janky how you actually get them going. But, you know, if you are a network tester, you know, doing any sort of deployments, having Ethernet on board is so valuable. You mentioned about swapping them out for different scenarios. So, I mean, this maybe is, I'm sure this is the case. If you, are they hot swappable or do you have to power
down?
They are. Oh, okay. That's
yeah, they
really
are hot
cool.
swappable. And actually we've seen as well that people are buying more expansion cards than the number that can fit at any time simultaneously. So you can put 4 cards in a Framework laptop 13, you can put 6 in a Framework laptop 16. But when people order their laptops, they're actually ordering more and basically just, you know, carrying them around in their bags in case they need to pop in a module to plug into a, you know, a monitor or something else.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You know, you might be one day you are at the office doing, you've got your docking station, USB-C docking station up, you know, and it's all set up. But then you're going off to the boardroom to do a presentation. You just pop in your HDMI or your DisplayPort module and you're good to go. Now, you've even got storage modules to add additional storage without having to open the laptop, because you can, of course. Is it just for one M2 slots?
Yeah, in the 13 we've got one M.2 SSD slot. In the 16 we actually have two slots. But then yeah, you can add these storage expansion cards, 250 gig or 1 terabyte. Even do things like install a second OS, like a Linux distro, on the expansion card and be able to put it in when you want to run a workload that needs Linux.
Oh, no, they can be booted from as
well.
That's right. Oh, that's really cool. That's very, very cool. And of course, Ben, that means that you've got a completely configurable laptop. But what about when, I mean, you've already hinted at RAM and SSDs and storage. So very easy to swap out the M.2 drives in the 13 and the 16. RAM not soldered onto a board like almost every other laptop these days. What's the kind of, because DDR5, I believe.
Yeah, so for Intel, we have DDR4. For our AMD products, we have DDR5. And speed's going up to, well, really the fastest you can get in a notebook today.
And what's the maximum capacity that you could theoretically, if you had the money, put into?
Right. Yeah, so for our AMD configs, although technically AMD doesn't officially support it, you can actually run up to 96 gigs of DDR5. For the Intel platforms, and actually technically AMD's officially supported capacity is 64 gigs of RAM.
Which is still, for contrast, an insane amount of RAM in a portable platform. And then what happens then, Nirav, when you decide, actually, I want a faster CPU, or, and I get, I'm assuming this is possible, actually, I'm fed up of Intel, I've had enough of Intel, I want to move to an AMD system. No, this is obviously only possible on the 13. But how easy is it to do that? How easy are we talking? And can people just buy a new board from you?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can go into the marketplace, pick up a newer generation main board, whether that's Intel or AMD. And then it's actually, well, we do races internally to see who can do a main board swap the fastest. But for a general normal customer, we would expect it to take 10 to 15 minutes to be able to do that upgrade, which is obviously, you know, pretty fast considering that's something you'd only ever do once every few years in a normal scenario.
And what else can be upgraded then? Because obviously we've got the main board. Now, I'll come back to the main board in a minute, because part of the reuse thing is something that you've explicitly allowed for, and I'll come back to that shortly. But what else can I change out on my framework laptop that isn't the modules and the RAM and storage?
Yeah, sure. So at this point, actually, we've released updates and upgrades for almost every part of the framework laptop 13. So we have a newer generation top cover and a top enclosure cover that uses a different aluminum process. We've got those multiple types of hinges. We've done two different versions of speakers that have different, EQ curves. We've got a newer generation battery that has higher capacity by using a newer chemistry. Of course, the main board itself. We actually have two different versions of the display. We've got a matte display and a glossy high contrast display. And we've got a number of different bezel colors as well. So almost the entirety of that laptop.
And again, as you mentioned earlier, if you ding up the top enclosure, just get a new one. All through the framework marketplace. And then on the keyboards as well. So on the 16, you've got a lot of customizability there.
Exactly, yeah. So on the 16, in addition to everything that we've done on the 13, we've got two entirely new module systems. One is that the input deck is actually entirely customizable. And the genesis of this was basically looking at the landscape of larger screen and gaming laptops and seeing that there was this very clear division between laptops with numpads, with 10-key, and laptops without. And as we did our market research and customer research, we saw that there's actually this very clear division between people who really absolutely hate having a numpad on their input deck and people who just need it and will never buy a laptop that doesn't have it. And so rather than building two different laptops to serve those two different needs, we looked at that and thought, well, let's actually just apply modularity to it like we do for our ports And so we came up with a system where the input devices are actually hot swappable. So you can put the keyboard in the center with modules to the left and right, or you can take that keyboard and slide it to the left or to the right and then drop in a numpad or even other types of modules. So we've done like an LED matrix module just as kind of a fun information display, just as an example.
Nice. And I mean, no collaboration with Elgato yet for a onboard Stream Deck.
not yet. Yeah, although we have opened up the specs to this module system, the input modules, as well as actually the expansion cards. We've seen quite a lot of community development. Almost every week we see someone come up with a new prototype of an expansion card or of an input module. And just this last week, actually, we saw someone come out with an NFC expansion card. Oh, wow. We saw someone develop an RGB LED matrix, kind of a twist on the white LED matrix that we have ourselves.
Because at the core, these modules, and this is something I didn't mention, but the modules, the I/O modules, internally, they are just off USB-C headers.
That's right. Yeah, the expansion cards are off of USB-C, and then those input modules for that input deck on the Framework Laptop 16, the interface is actually also USB, just over these pogo pins. So it ends up being actually quite straightforward for someone who's a tinker or hobbyist to spin their own module and create some interesting solution for a use case that would normally never be possible on a laptop.
That is so... You are making me rethink my laptop buying decisions right now, though. The 16, now you can obviously tell I wear glasses, my eyesight. Again, one of the things I've always struggled with is the size of laptops, but having that choice, having that customizability is incredible. Now, what happens then, Nirav, when I decide to upgrade my Framework laptop? I put the shiny new Logic board in, and I decide I'm going to upgrade my RAM as well. I'm going to get a new SSD. What do I do with that board that's left over? I mean, I can't do anything with that, surely.
Right, yeah. So this was an interesting one. We very deliberately designed the main board to be functional standalone outside of the laptop. So it actually functions as basically a standalone computer. And we've gone and partnered with Cooler Master, who's one of the big PC case and PC peripheral companies, and developed together this little small form factor desktop case. And so if you're upgrading the main board in your Framework laptop, we don't want that old main board to go sit in a drawer or even worse, go out into a landfill. We want you to be able to pick up this simple little case and be able to repurpose it as a second computer, maybe plug it into a TV, maybe make it a network device. And the exciting thing about that as well is that even if you personally don't have a use for it, the existence of that case and the usability of that main board standalone means that there might be some other consumer somewhere in the world who could get use out of it. And that makes it more valuable for you to be able to go and resell and, again, avoid that thing entering a waste stream.
Absolutely. And because it is, I'm assuming, you don't have a dedicated power supply into the, it's just USB-C powered power delivery.
That's right.
And I'm therefore assuming that by the very nature of that, any one of the USB-C enabled store, I keep saying store, expansion modules can be your charging inlet.
That's right, yeah. Any of the four ports on the 13 and actually on the 16, same, there's four ports that can take power input. We've actually also seen people do some really incredible projects around these main boards, just using them as standalone computers, including things like building DIY gaming handhelds. We've seen now Ooh. Four or five different projects where people would take that main board and build their own little handheld around it, which is just really creative, interesting way of, again, avoiding waste, but also just getting something really fun and useful out of it.
I meant one quick question, because I'm a 16. Am I right? There is, and please do correct me if I'm wrong here, there's much more of a, I don't know what, the desktop class, like dedicated GPU rather than just be integrated.
That's right. Yes. So this was one of the really key features and use cases we enabled on Framework Laptop 16, which is that for gamers and creators and workstation users, oftentimes their use case is GPU limited. And so really the holy grail, the thing that those users really would love to have out of a computer, is being able to upgrade the graphics independently from the rest of the system. And of course, that's the norm in the desktop space. If you're building your own computer or buying, you know, desktop gaming rig, almost every generation or maybe every other generation, you'll go and swap that graphics card and be able to continue to use the rest of the computer. For notebooks, that historically hasn't been the case. You've had to go and buy an entire new laptop if you want to access some new title that's just a bit too heavy to run on the graphics that you already have. And so with the Framework Laptop 16, we built what we call the Expansion Bay, which is a system that allows for optional discrete graphics, but also upgradability of that discrete graphics generation over generation.
And is that something that, I mean, I'm going to assume that getting that into that form factor, I'm not going to be able to just take a consumer graphics card and pop it in there. That is going to be something that you guys will have to sell. But at the same time, it's a huge step forward. It's not criticism. It is a huge step forward. Is that going to be open to GPU makers to work with you on what cards can go in?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've actually open sourced the reference design for that system as well in the documentation. And that's another area where we've actually already seen some community development occurring, not of entire new graphics modules, just because of the complexity and access to silicon makes it a bit harder for an individual hobbyist. But we've seen people building things like Oculink connectors routed through that expansion bay, or things like, added storage. We've actually had a developer out there creating an FPGA card, which is pretty interesting.
Wow. So huge flexibility on the 16. And again, not a thick and heavy laptop. This is still a light laptop. It's a, you know, I always think back to, you know, the big Chongus. Again, I'll use Dell as an example because they're I've got somewhere under the bed an old Dell 15R, and it's like weightlifting to just get it out of the box, you know. Final point, because obviously your time is fairly limited. Now, there's something that you mentioned earlier, an alternative operating system. Now, folks, you'll know how big of a fans me and Jay are of different operating systems. My personal ThinkPads run Linux. You know, we've got Steam Decks. You guys have gone further than I think I've seen a lot of laptop makers to not only say, oh yeah, of course we can run Linux or something, but you've tested, I think, two, fully tested distros on the hardware.
That's right, yeah. So we've got internal official support for Ubuntu and Fedora. And so Ubuntu LTS, we always pick the latest LTS release and then the latest Fedora release. And we've got our internal Linux lead, Matt, and then also other folks on the team ensuring that support for those two distros is really solid. And of course, we actually work closely with folks at Canonical and Red Hat to ensure that that's the case. And then for additional distros, we've actually seen a lot of work come out of the community to support things like Manjaro, Arch Linux, or Mint and other popular distros. And just given the number of people within those communities who are using Framework laptops, we've actually seen quite robust support from these different distros through community support in ways that we actually don't have to do very much ourselves.
I think that's awesome. As you talked about, you know, gaming handhelds, I instantly think of, you know, the Framework deck, you know, a Steam deck, but Framework's board. And it is so cool for me to see the amount of support, particularly with Proton. You know, Valve do a lot of things wrong, but Valve's contribution to Proton, fantastic. It's brilliant. So, Nirav, obviously, I really, really appreciate you having this chat with us. If people want to find out more, well, first of all, is there anything else you'd like to tell people that maybe we've missed, or any big, you know, big selling points or messages that you want to get out to people before we wrap up?
Yeah, fundamentally, what we're doing is about ownership at the end of the day. It's that if you buy a product, that should be yours to do what you'd like, whether that's running your own distribution or picking your favorite OS or bringing your own memory and storage or just making that product look the way you want it to look. But of course, also enabling you to continue to use that product for as long as you'd like to. We think it's actually just common sense and almost a shame that it isn't the norm in the industry.
I couldn't agree more. So if people want to find out more about Framework, work in my head.
They can come to frame.work.
What a great domain.
Yeah, the domain actually came before the company did.
Cool. I mean, I have to, when I was working with Nirav's PR team to organize this, he was giving me Nirav's email address, and he made a slight typo, frame.work.com. I'm thinking, actually, could that be a thing? Realized, no, that's not it. So it is frame.work. Go and check it out for us. If nothing else, go and just look at how configurable those machines are. If you've ever been on anyone else's configuration page, be it Apple, be it Dell, be it HP's, your mind will be blown at how much you can change. Nirav, I can't say thank you enough for being here. I really hope people have got something from this. Thank you very much.
Thanks, James. Great to chat.
Well, folks, that was definitely an interesting chat with Nirav. Now, I'm joined by my beautiful co-host, Jay, just for a little bit of sort of our reactions, because obviously we didn't really have time to maybe do as much conversation as in this particular interview. But, Jay, you've got a chance to actually listen to this as we were recording it, and obviously you've heard bits of me editing this today. What do you think to the Framework laptop? Is there anything that stands out to you?
I think what's amazing is the fact that it's a laptop that's, one, very durable, which is a selling point for me. And also, I love the focus on reusing parts. The fact that even the main board could be reused in another device is actually a really cool use of stopping our junk waste that we have on a lot of electronics.
Couldn't agree more. And I think, yeah, but being able to run it outside of the case, just be, you know, now the amount of customization you can do on these laptops is incredible. As we discussed, I do encourage you to go and take a look at it. Now, Jay, I've got a difficult question for you, because obviously we're recording this on, by the way, if you might notice the audio is a little bit different for these top and tail. These are actually being recorded on my MacBook Air's internal microphone, and it's meant to be really good, so I'd love to know what you think. But Jay, we're sat in front of a 13-inch M3 MacBook Air. If I gave you the budget right now and said you could only choose between my MacBook Air and my Framework laptop for your use case of someone who does have accidents with technology, what do you think you'd choose?
I would definitely choose the Framework, because for instance, in a lot of ways, I can VNC into my Mac and all that. I can do different things in that regard. So for a lot of my use cases, I'd pick a Framework to give me what I need on the laptop, but at much less of the cost. And also, just the idea that I can customize it to exactly what I want is a huge benefit.
I think I said, now, the cost is not really that much different when you actually sort of even it out. But what is a huge difference is that the prices of upgrading the RAM and the CPU, the RAM and the storage are ridiculously cheap compared with Apple's, frankly, overpriced metrics. Now, we absolutely want to hear from you. I know we have listeners who have Framework laptops. I know we have listeners who are huge Linux fans. What do you think to what Nirav and the team are offering? Is there anything that you'd want to change? Come and join our Discord, crosswires.net/discord. Drop us an email, podcast@crosswires.net, and absolutely engage with us on Mastodon and now Blue Sky, thanks to Jay. So, Jay, without much further ado, I think we'll go down to the hotel bar for a drink.
Sounds good. And by the way, ooh, no, shoot. I'm sorry, James, I dropped your new MacBook.
Thankfully, she's only joking, folks.
All right. I'm not Linus Drop Tips.
Oh.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Cross Wires. We hope you've enjoyed our discussion, and we'd love to hear your thoughts. So please drop us a note over to podcast@crosswires.net. Why not come and join our Discord community over at crosswires.net/Discord. We've got lots of text channels, we've even got voice channels, and we've got forum posts for every episode that we put out there. If you're a Mastodon, you can also follow us either by heading over to wires.social or just follow crossed@wires.social.
If you'd like to check out more of our content, head on over to crossedwires.net/YouTube for all our videos, and keep an eye on our Twitch channel at crossedwires.net/live for our upcoming streams.
If you like what you heard, please do drop a review in your podcast directory of choice. It really does help spread the word about the show.
And of course, if you can spare even the smallest amount of financial support, we'd be incredibly grateful. You can support us at ko-fi.com/crossedwires. That is ko-fi.com/crossedwires.
Until next time, thanks for listening.